Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Gem of a Secret podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. Happy holidays. So I got the beautiful pleasure of getting to talk with my mom about my life and my childhood and things like that. The audio isn't super great, but I hope you enjoyed anyway. And as I always say, how you doing, listeners? I hope your holidays were well. Get ready, folks, because the ultimate drag extravaganza is hitting Portland. Join us on December 3rd for the moment you've all been waiting for. The moment, Camp Wanakiki Takeover, presented by Coco Gem Holiday and Autumn Rains. This show is guaranteed to be an absolute blast. Step into the spotlight as we welcome the stars from the sensational out TV show Camp Wanakiki. Get ready to be dazzled by the talents of Riley Poppyseed, Diana Fire, Claire Apparently, and Carly Unitemkleit. These Camp Wanakiki campers are bringing their A-game to the stage. But that's not all. Brace yourself for a mind-blowing lineup of local talent featuring the incredible Nisa Morspoons, the fabulous Nashville Hot, the sensational Carrie O.K., the electrifying Rye Bread, and the incomparable Willy Wank Me. Trust me, you don't want to miss a single performance. Mark your calendars because the doors open at 7 p.m. sharp. And here's a tip, snag your tickets early for just $10 during the presale. And don't fret if you miss it, tickets will be available at the door for $20. Head over to www.thecdsdrag.com/moment. That's www.thecdsdrag.com/moment to secure your spot. Oh, and here's a little secret, there are VIP options available, so why not treat yourself to the VIP treatment? Join us at the amazing Misfits Bar and Lounge, nestled at 2530 Northeast 82nd Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97220, for a night you won't forget. Remember, folks, this event is strictly 21 and up, and guess what? We have DJ Queer Cub on deck to keep the beats pumping all night long. So what are you waiting for? Grab your friends, get those tickets, and get ready for a night filled with glamour, excitement, and unmissable performances. We'll see you at the moment, Camp Wanakiki Takeover, on December 3rd. Don't miss out on the drag event of the season. Be there or be square.
It's a podcast. Check it out. Tune into what they tell you podcast. Check
it out. And we are back, listeners, and I'm so excited because I get to interview my mom. Say hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
That's fine, Mom. this is a drag-affiliated podcast, so I'm going to ask you a lot of questions about drag because you've been to a lot of drag shows. Can you talk about the first time that you ever went to a drag show?
It may have been at the Compound, maybe.
Oh, when we went up to the Springs? I think, no. It was here in town, wasn't
yes,
it? Yes,
yeah. Around Broadway. Was it the Compound?
Yeah, I think it was the Compound. Yeah. Yes. Oh, wow, that was a long time ago.
Yes, it was.
Had you never been to a drag show before? Because I know you used to live in California for a while.
No, I actually never went to any when I was in L.A.
That's crazy. It sounds like y'all didn't have any fun.
Well, we had fun.
When I started doing drag, I remember the first video I showed you was from Pride in Grand Junction. Mm-hmm. I was performing to Hush Hush. I've told the story a few times, but I don't know if you remember, but this is how it happened. I remember I was telling you that my ex had been doing it, and you had asked me if I had done it. And I was like, yeah, I've dabbled. And so, because I remember the computer was in your room at the time, and I showed you a video of me performing to that Hush Hush song. And you're like, oh, this is great. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of drag, Mom?
It's fabulous. A lot of people love it.
I feel the same. Mm. I didn't think I'd be doing it this long.
You like to perform, period.
I do. Well, and let's actually get into that. I'm always kind of curious, because I know that Billy did all of the things that you also put me into as well. But, like, did Billy also do, like, piano and stuff like that, too?
Very sure.
Billy's my sister, listeners. But did she play any other instruments too? Because I remember you gave me the clarinet and Daddy gave me the saxophone.
Give you the clarinet because we didn't have the sax at first when the classes started. We got the sax later. Mm-hmm. And no, Billy did not play any instruments. She was too busy with her other activities.
No, that makes sense. What about the singing lessons? Where did that come from?
Because you sang all the time. Anyway, you were already singing. So I decided to, you know, enhance that by putting you into some lessons.
I remember, I have a core memory, and I don't, and I think it is on video. Do you remember that I had a piano recital once when I was in piano? This would have been a lot. Actually, it's probably when I was like maybe 8 or 9. I also remember playing the piano for a talent show at Side Creek as well.
I don't remember any of that.
I remember for the recital I messed up like bad. I had to start over like several times because I was so nervous. And I think it might have been you or Daddy who was there who was recording me. But yeah, I remember that clearly. And I do remember playing the piano just 1 year for a talent show. It might have been that. Do you remember, well, actually you probably do. So throughout my high school career, listeners, I was in every musical that happened at school. And I don't remember how I ever ended up in those situations, but I always was. Do you remember going to this?
Yes, I do.
I don't actually remember how I ever ended up in any of them.
Because you were in choir, men's choir, show choir, and concert choir.
Oh, that's right.
And a lot of those students would do the plays every year.
That's right. I don't remember ever auditioning. But it's high school.
You were great to begin with. That's the only reason you got into show choir. They probably just, JLD, let's just find him a role.
Well, yeah, because I remember, I did get into show choir as a freshman, which wasn't necessarily heard of very often.
And she hadn't had one in 6 years.
Yeah. And
a freshman in show choir.
I remember that. Oh my gosh, that takes me way back. I remember the thing about choir is I really enjoyed it, but it was also kind of, I thought that I was going to pursue a music career because I remember I was in choir in college too. I took choir my first year. We did a couple of recitals, but being in a sea of that many people, you realize how ordinary you are in a lot of ways, I think. Well, and because there was like, because I wasn't really good at like music theory, right? Like I could read music, like I could keep a decent note or whatever, but there were people who were really good at all of those things. But you have to also think if they're in college, they're studying it, they'd had classes, because I only took one choir class. I think maybe I was in choir for my entire freshman year of college, I think. And then I dropped it after that because I realized I didn't want to pursue it. Because I remember thinking that if I wanted to go into computers, that's actually what happened. I was selecting my classes, and the class that I needed that was a core class was at the same time that choir was. And so I remember I was like, well, I can't do that. So, because I had to make a decision. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to decide what I wanted to do, entertainment or make money. And and which is funny because I do both now. So what did you think of my first drag show?
I really enjoyed it. I thought you did an excellent job.
Thank you.
I always liked it when you sang, though. Live.
I sing live pretty much regularly now in Portland. It's a little bit more accepted there.
Well, I also liked it when you sang my songs that I wanted to hear.
Yeah, I know. Do you remember, not to get too heavy, but I think I told you this story, but I don't know if I've ever told you the whole thing from start to finish. So when my grandmother was sick and it was like the last few days, we drove down because Auntie Stacy told us to drive down, right? And we were, and because my ex at the time couldn't go, as Adam is the one who drove me down. I don't know if you remember that. So Adam, we were just friends at the time, way before we started dating. And Adam is the one who actually drove me down that last week when Mother Dear was still alive. And I remember on the way back, because remember we had to leave because Adam had work. So we had to leave that morning. Mm-hmm. And so I remember, you know, I was like crying and whatever, because it was really sad because she had passed. And I remember I was singing to comfort myself. I was singing a song from The Wiz, I think, just to make myself feel comfortable. And I remember Adam was sleeping. I was driving his car, I think, because it got better gas miles in my car, so we could make it down really quickly. So at Mother Dear's funeral, which I do know you remember, is because Mother Dear always liked when I sang, and I always sing Somewhere of the Rainbow for her. But because it comforted me when I was like coming back, that's why I mixed in the song Home from The Wiz and Somewhere Over the Rainbow when I sang in her funeral. I don't know if I ever told you that. And it's funny, I tell that story a lot because Adam is now such a big part of my life, and he was there through one of like the saddest parts of my life. So I don't know if I ever told you that.
You tell me about the driving down and driving back and that thing about the singing the songs at the funeral.
Yeah, but it was Adam's one came down with it. what else did I want to go with that story? Oh, so I have performed that song, that mix of that song, a lot in other places, and I usually tell some semblance of that story because it's really long, and it's too long for when you're on the mic standing in front of a bunch of people, but people really enjoy it. And I think what's really interesting is that a lot of people haven't seen The Wiz still.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time of filming this, The Wiz is actually coming back to Broadway, actually, at the time of filming this. And I don't know, my mom doesn't necessarily want to go to New York, but you should come see The Wiz with us when we come.
I don't like those in and out, those turnarounds, whatever you call them. I'm not flying to New York at 6 in the morning and coming back at midnight.
No, I get it. I want to talk about your high school career, because you were into music as well. Like, you were a majorette, from what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
How many instruments did you play?
Clarinet was my main instrument, and I played oboe and bassoon.
You played the bassoon?
Yes. Your grandmother's chagrin. She put up with it, though.
Oh, gosh, that's funny. I didn't know that. This is like maybe 6-7 years ago, you went back to school, right? And you finished your music degree, or?
No, I did business management.
Right, but I thought that you wrote your old college.
I wanted to, but they had added a lot more subjects since I had gone.
What made you want to go back to school later in life?
I always wanted to finish school, but when your sister had me call the school for her, they made it sound like it was piece cake.
But you did. You graduated.
Yeah.
And it was
a piece of cake.
I remember you constantly talking about your classes. Because you actually attended on... No, it was it campus? Or where were you going to school at?
I was on campus.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember you took night classes, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Except for my very last class. It was only the first class and the last class. The rest was online.
Hmm.
And it was very difficult and challenging. Business law. Or law for administrative assistant business type people.
Right. Do you feel like your degree helped you get some of your jobs?
No.
Why?
Too little, too late.
I remember the first time I was back from college. I think it was back from college, and you had actually offered me a beer and 7-Up. And I was like, no, I don't know why we're doing this. I was like, this sounds disgusting.
Well, some people don't like beer, and it really just kind of tames it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more tasty.
No, that kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, switching gears again, you lived in Germany for a while. How long did you ever live in Germany for?
3 years the first time, 1 year the second time.
You went back again?
Yeah.
I didn't
when
know
I was
that.
In college, I actually attended the University of Maryland.
What?
In Munich, Germany.
Oh, every semester. Time you said the University of Maryland, I thought you meant somewhere in Maine.
University of Maryland.
I was like, I don't know why I thought that.
Campuses in Munich, Germany.
You went to college in Germany?
Yeah, a lot of military kids' dependents went to the University of Maryland.
I did not know that. What did you study there?
Just the general subjects.
Wait, you said that was the second time you went?
Yeah.
Because the first time was when?
I think I was in elementary school.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought that was when you were in high school.
No. When I got back, I think I did the fifth, sixth grade, or sixth and seventh.
That makes...
seventh and eighth, maybe.
And you attended it for a year?
A semester.
So then, where did you go after that?
I went back to L.A. and went back to school in L.A.
actually, that makes me... Let's switch gears again. You talked about... Because there were some riots that were happening when you were in L.A., right?
Yeah.
What riots were those? I don't remember which riots those were.
All I can think of is L.A. riots.
Oh, it was
gosh. But I don't remember exactly what they called it then. That's a long time ago.
What were they for?
You know, black folks.
Just black folks.
I don't remember what started it. It was before I got there. But the devastation was still there. It went right after.
So watching the Wonder Years, which is, I remember the very first episode, I think, because they throw you in. Because you've seen that, right?
The original?
No, the new one.
The remake. Okay.
Yeah, so the Wonder Years, the remake with the black family.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first episode, just trigger warning everybody. The first episode, I believe, is when Martin Luther King is shot, right? And I remember there's a comment that the youngest kid makes that he's like, I don't know why my mom thought it was so important to fold laundry. And it's just because she was crying while she was folding laundry or whatever. And so I think I've asked you this question before and I kind of know the answer, but I think it's kind of funny because people don't really know what was happening in the country at the time that this was happening. And not every single person was specifically involved, but like, because you were like, I think, 13 or 14 or 15 when he was assassinated. Do you remember like watching it on the news or what was going on at the time?
Well, just watching some of it on the news. That was about it. Mm-hmm.
Did you part? Well, actually, you were really too young to participate in any of like protests. Did, well, because you were living with Mother Deer at the time. Did she participate or did, what did she say about all
Mother
that?
Deer? Probably nothing. I don't remember either one of them saying anything about it.
Well, that's and actually, when you think about it, because I remember like when 9/11 happened, and I don't remember talking to you about it. Like we watched like the news and whatever, but we didn't like sit down and like have a family meeting to be like, hey, this thing's happening. Like, well, because you did a really good job of like letting us know about the world, but keeping like you know to not burst the bubble that you know people can be terrible at times.
Right, and that was devastating, and I had to turn the TV off. I couldn't watch it anymore.
Mm.
And unfortunately, it's the same year that choir of yours did Les Mis.
Oh,
no, God. It wasn't Les Mis. It was...
We did Jesus Christ Superstar.
That's the first one.
We did Les Mis, and we did Tommy.
Tommy. Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, why can't they do Oklahoma or something?
Yeah,
all
Tommy was
going on about rough.
Tommy was rough.
Yeah.
I actually didn't even know what it was about until a lot later. I think Tommy's too adult themed for high school in my opinion. Oh, okay. But I like Tommy. I love the music. I think it's great. The Who are wonderful, right? But I thought that the musical it was rough.
I almost didn't let you go on that cruise.
Oh, I did go on it. Oh, because we did a.
Because it was right after 9/11. I didn't want you on the open seas.
Oh, right.
But it's a you know once in a lifetime opportunity, so I let you go and worried the whole time you're gone.
Yeah, we submitted a thing for our high school to sing, at Disney World, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't go to Disneyland until later in life. We submitted a thing to sing at Disney World, and then we went on it wasn't a Disney cruise, just a regular cruise. And I remember I was, oh, God, I had to be 14, 15, or 16 at the time.
You couldn't drink, let's put it
that way. I couldn't drink. And as most of my listeners know, I usually do this podcast with a cocktail. I remember not being able to drink, so it wasn't really fun. I remember, wow, that is a core memory unlocked. the whole time I was ordering room service. That's all I could really do. Because, like, as an adult, because me and Adam went on that cruise for Camp Wanakiki, like, where I performed and I got to host, which was super great, with some RuPaul's Drag Race headliner in October of last year? The year before last year. Yeah. And that was a lot of fun. Like, we were drinking the whole time, doing all of that stuff, and that was great. I liked that a lot. Mm-hmm.
Looked like it in the pictures.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. But I do know that that is crazy. I did have fun. I had a lot of fun with my friends. But a lot of the other kids were drinking. I never really drank in high school. It wasn't my thing. I never really did any like illegal things in high school. I don't know why I was such a goody two shoes, but I actually value that in my upbringing because things got to be a lot more fun. Like the first time I was ever drunk was when I was on my 21st birthday. And I remember not liking the feeling of being drunk. That was terrible. But
well, you tolerated your friends when you decided to have a house party.
Oh yeah, I had a house party at my house with everybody, and I didn't know how to measure people's intake, so everybody was like getting too drunk and puking everywhere. You should never have your sober high school friend throwing a party at their house. Good Lord.
Yeah, you and William driving everybody home.
Oh, we drove everyone home. Oh my gosh, I just remember that. You know, I saw him recently.
William?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was in, I did a show called Dollapalooza last year for Pride, which is an amazing show thrown by Katya Presents. And I and a bunch of other people. I remember William was just there in the audience, actually. Mm-hmm. I think he actually came specifically for that. And we ran into each other and we got to catch up and we hung out all night and got drunk and it was great. For my listeners out there, William was my best friend through pretty much elementary school through graduation, actually. We lost touch around. We actually stopped kind of being friends our senior year. We bickered and argued a lot. From fourth grade, I think is when I met him, when he moved here. From fourth grade to, senior year. I don't remember William in middle school very much, though, which is funny. I know I knew of, we sat together at lunch, but I don't really remember much. William actually was, we went home together every day. Good Lord, that's a core memory unlock. He turned out to be gay. He came out before I did. Oh, that reminds me. This is a good topic for this podcast. So my mom was a foster care provider for many, many years. All the way from, I think I was in second grade. No, not that early.
It might be.
I was young. I remember that. Young enough, but I was old enough to understand. It was either second or fourth grade. Thank you. How many foster kids did you have in your entirety of being a foster parent?
I don't know. I seem to remember the number 31.
I know it was over 30. Let's go back on that. Why did you decide to be a foster care provider?
Good question.
because you did a joint license between being a daycare provider and a foster care.
Right. I had a friend that was doing daycare and foster care.
Oh.
Yeah. Janie.
Oh, that's who was doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, my sister was part of a musical group known as Bit of Honey that had Shyla Phillips in it, who's gone on to do some really amazing things in music. And then
Including being Miss Texas. And runner up to them. Is it Miss America?
And then her sister, which was named Summer, and they're in a girl group called Bit of Honey. That's crazy. And Janie was her mom. Now, so she was doing, how did you know, because you quit your job to do that full time, right? Is that what happened? I don't actually remember how you made the transition from.
I don't either.
because I remember then you were just suddenly doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you were just taking care of kids all the time. you took care of kids for a long time. I remember, this might just be in my head, but I tell my friends that you did foster care. The youngest that you did in foster care was my age.
at the time. The youngest, the first two were 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember them.
Mm-hmm. I kept them under your age and under Billy's age.
Mm-hmm. But then when you started doing it around my age, was that when I got to high school, I wonder?
No, it was, I remember, middle school, because you called me when one of the girls didn't go to school, didn't get on the bus.
Uh-huh.
And you called me to let me know.
I remember that, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember we were walking to the bus stop. We were walking down the street. And then she went to the right. And she's like, okay, I'm leaving. And I said, but the bus stop's over here. She's like, I know. And then she just took off. And then I called you. And then I said, hey, she just lit somewhere. Yeah, that's crazy. gosh, that is.
Some of your favorite friends, well, some are on Facebook, but LaDonna did come down to visit you.
Yes, mm-hmm. She did. Yeah. With her husband.
Mm-hmm.
She was, yeah, we, I think I keep in touch with a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
Martha specifically, because she's on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook. But yeah, so why did you stop doing foster care?
That was when everything was kind of crashing. A lot of people were losing their jobs. People were taking their kids out of daycare because they couldn't afford it, because they weren't working.
Mm-hmm. How did you come up with your pricing for daycare?
Talking to my friends and other, other foster parents.
Oh, interesting. Did you have like an LLC for your business, or did you work through an agency?
I worked for an agency.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, I don't know how you say that. You're basically working for yourself, but mm-hmm. there's an agency involved as far as training and introducing you to the kids that are available that mm-hmm. are out there. You know, trying to find a good matchup.
Okay. That's really cool. I didn't know that. So what did you first do after you stopped doing foster care? Like what did you do for income?
Oh, I don't remember exactly. I went back to work, but I'm not sure what my first job was.
I don't either. I just remember you weren't doing foster care. And you had income from somewhere. I think you might have actually been at a temp agency at that time. Because
I could have been.
Because I remember you tried to get me set up with it because I was coming home for college break,
ooh,
right? And I always did odd jobs over the summer. It was a big thing for me not to work during the summers because school was so hard. And so, or sorry, not to like work too hard during the summer. So I tried to get a part-time job when I came home. Well, that was a crazy wild experience. Good Lord.
I think I actually went to the HAC, Health Administration Center, VA Health Administration Center.
That sounds right.
I think I went there, yeah. It was the first job I had after foster care.
Do you miss being a foster care parent?
No. Hard work.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Learned a lot, though. Mm. All the classes and everything, I learned a lot about behavior.
Oh, yeah, you did take a lot of classes.
Recognizing things like fetal alcohol syndrome. Mm-hmm. Never knew about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Knew about ADHD, but to try to raise a child that's ADHD, it's difficult.
I do remember that, too. I remember you were always in classes. You also were taking American Sign Language because you had a foster kid.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly.
How long did you take? How proficient do you think you got at it?
Really good. Don't you remember singing and I signed the song that you were singing? You went with me to class.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that. I remember I was in classes too for a while. I thought they were fun. But then I fell way behind.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to catch up because I couldn't be in the beginner's classes anymore because I went through all of them and they put me in the advanced classes and I just wasn't getting it.
Mm-hmm.
So I dropped. But yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that part. I forgot that you took classes.
Yeah, I took classes.
For ASL.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, that's so crazy. Switching gears one more time. So I remember that you always liked to dance. So was that something, just a hobby that you had?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that how you, like, bonded with my father, with dancing?
Yeah.
Because, like, didn't you guys meet at a club?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember you used to take us to swing dancing lessons.
Mercury Cafe.
At Mercury Cafe. Right. That was still open in Denver.
You and all the foster kids, actually, too, to get them out of the house.
Yeah.
And get them involved in something different.
Because it was, they allowed, it was 15 and up, I believe. No, it might have been 14 and up.
I don't remember.
I remember, this is so funny to me. I remember ordering, gosh, this is interesting for me to tell my listeners. I remember at Mercury Cafe, I liked going there because I would order Shirley Temples. Because you could order, the funny thing is, in Colorado, so you can't do this in Oregon. No, you wouldn't be able to do this in Oregon because of the OLCC. But in Colorado, we could go to the bar and order a drink if it was obviously non-alcoholic. And I remember that was my favorite thing to do there, was to order myself a Shirley Temple. I don't know why I remember that so much. But I love swing dancing. I think it's a lot of fun.
I do.
I still enjoy it to this day. But I don't know. I don't have a lot of extra time to do those kind of things anymore. I also like line dancing a lot, too.
That's fun.
Yeah, line dancing is a lot of fun. You used to take us to a place. There was a place that was like a club that was in town. I remember me, you, Daddy, and Billy went once.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were like line dances.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Cupid Shuffle and stuff like that. You took us there once.
It was just for that one particular night. It was a regular club.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
How do you find these places? I've always wondered that. You always just found these places.
Word of mouth.
Who are you talking to?
People, friends. Yeah. And that's where they find out the places I go to. It's like, oh, what? Really? Oh,
I guess that's true. Yeah. No, I like going to all those dancing places. So one of my favorite memories with you, Mom, is when we decided, this is kind of stupid, but it's funny, when we decided to drive, well, we had to drive from Junction to Portland because we road tripped.
It was fun.
No, a road trip with my mom from Colorado to Portland, and we didn't do any overnights. We just kind of drove through. I think we slept in the car like maybe a couple times. But yeah, they just straight through. And I remember when we got there, me and Adam had a big fight because my mom was like, I'm tired. I want to lay down. And the thing is, the very last thing that we put in the car was the bed, like meaning that it was closest to the door and the moving van. And so Adam just wanted to sit down for 5 seconds because I had brought our master bedroom already. And so Adam wanted to lay down. And I was like, no, my mom wants to lay down. So she's either laying in our bed or we need to empty this truck and get that bed out of here. And he was like, I just want a minute. And I was like, no. I was like, my mom needs to lay down somewhere. Because we had bought the furniture. We had bought the couches. But we hadn't bought anything else. I actually missed that house. I liked that house a lot.
It was functional, doable. It had a garage attached.
Mm-hmm. It was a nice space to live. And it had three full baths. That was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was 4-bedroom, 3 full baths.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a pretty, pretty awesome space. I liked it a lot. So what did you think of Portland, Mom?
Outside of the fact that the sun doesn't shine. It rains a lot. The roads are too narrow. Y'all can't even pump your own gas.
No, we can. That's actually, that just changed. It changed
when I was there, but nobody was doing it. So what? Are they actually doing it now? Because they were
so every too. Pump now, not every pump. Sorry, I should be most pumps, because I don't actually know what the law was that changed. But most pumps are full service or self service. What you see on there, I still go to the full service. I don't even care. Like, because it's always, because I get gas in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I always go to full service. Mm-hmm. I don't have to get out of my car. Mm-hmm. I can watch some TV on my phone, get ready for the day as somebody's pumping my gas. And I have a gas card, so it was always super nice to just have somebody doing that for me.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I understand.
What else did you think of Portland?
That's about it.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of like, are they cleaning up after the whole houseless, you call them houseless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are they picking up? Because the last time I was there, there was just trash everywhere.
So you came kind of after COVID a little bit, and so the houseless population.
I mean, last year when I went.
Was it last year in February?
It wasn't this year in February, was it?
No, because we went to Hawaii for my dog.
Okay, yeah.
So it was last year in February, which is, you know, 2022, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we were still coming out of COVID, and the houseless population kind of got really large.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say they did this thing to where they created a bill or a law, I don't know, where they would remove houseless from high traffic areas. But I will say, the thing is, I love Portland, and I know I have a lot of Portland listeners on this podcast, but I will say is, because I've been to New York several times now, and I love New York.
Mm-hmm.
New York has a plethora of smells and da-da-da-da, like, but people are in those downtown areas, there's people everywhere. The thing about Portland, it always just feels like our downtown is becoming, like, there's a word for it when it's, like, no people in a city. Like, it's kind of becoming in the spaces that I frequent.
Mm-hmm.
And people might say I'm not out enough, but I'm out pretty frequently and I'm downtown a lot. But I will say it smells downtown quite frequently. I don't see as many houseless as there used to be because now we're way after COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And cars are getting broken into a lot. Quite a bit unsafe. I still love Portland. I love downtown. I love going to the shops. I love eating. I love doing all that stuff. But there is an air of caution with me. Like, I really plan where I park.
Yes.
I'm really cognizant of if I park in a certain space, I might get my car broken into. I was at one of my favorite places, but I was at a show recently, and I had to park behind the building.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of like it had a light, but it was like a parking lot behind the building. And there was only a few cars in there because I think people thought they could get towed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was nervous about parking there. One, because I couldn't get to my car quick enough if something happened. But two, I was worried about getting towed. I think I told you the story, but the last time Adam got towed when he was working at the Queen's Head, because he was the, I think he was the, every, no, he was every Friday night. It might have been. It was frequent Fridays he was at Queen's Head. And he always tried to get there early to get a good parking spot because it was on a busy street. And he got towed once, and my car, which is funny because I was in a show, my car has a thing on it that lets me know what's happening. And so it said, hey, I think I'm being towed. And then it said, help, I'm definitely being towed. It's what it said. I'm definitely being towed.
Oh my goodness.
And the funny thing is, I think I might have told the story in the podcast before, but we went to the place, to get the car back, and because I just followed the car on the GPS, because the car told me where it was, so I went there. They're like, well, let me tell you where it's at, and I said, we're out front, and she's like, well, the guy just left 20 minutes ago, and he's already at home, and I said, well, I need my car, and the woman's like, well, we didn't expect you to be there so fast. I was like, but I'm here, so I need my car, and she's like, well, he'll be there in about an hour and a half. I said, an hour and a half, so 20 minutes he was at home, but it's gonna take him an hour and a half to get back here. And she said, yes. And I was like, oh wow. And they charged us an arm and a leg for that. Oh my gosh, I think it was like $400. It was awful. But
I think some of the other strange things or different things about Portland is the weird grass.
Weird grass?
The grass weird. And the spiders and the little ant things.
Well, yeah. Portland has a lot of spiders. I remember I went to a rich person's house and they had a ton of spiders their like crawl space areas and things like that. We have spiders here. I mean, spiders are everywhere, but like not like they are in Portland. They are everywhere.
Yeah. And then the mixture of like you took me to one club where there was a house next door that someone lived in. I'm not used to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Portland is very built on top of itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. In like a lot of the places downtown, there's apartments above all of the clubs, too. So.
Well, that's kind of understandable. They do a lot of that at the restaurants down there, right. That kind of thing. But to be out in a area where you think it should be populated with houses. Mm-hmm. It appeared that the club came later. The neighborhood was already there.
Well, and my thing, too, is I always thought about wanting to live downtown in Portland, but I kind of like the fact that I live close to downtown, but I'm not there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the I don't know if I'd feel safe enough. That's the thing.
Right.
I am real big about safety these days. Like, I think just last week, trigger warning, that there were, like, a couple of fatal car accidents.
Well, we have those every day.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we have fatal car accidents frequently, but this one was, like, made news, and it was, like, really, really large. I'm not quite sure what happened, but,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, I love living in Portland. I love being close to the beach. I love all the things that are there, but it's not as safe as it needs to be. And I think that probably comes from, living in a city just in general.
Yeah.
Because the funny thing is, Autumn didn't like this, but when I was in New York, I really did like it a lot. Like, we were walking around, we went to the Stonewall Inn, we saw the Twin Towers Memorial, we went to 2 Broadway shows, we saw the Statue of Liberty. Like, we did all the touristy things, of course.
Did you go out to the Statue of Liberty?
No.
No, I couldn't go when I was there either. I'd never seen a torrential downpour like that. It was closed. There's no way you could get on that board.
I didn't know that you'd been to New York.
Yeah.
Of course.
We went to see Billy Dee Williams and I Have a Dream.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Oh, it was great.
Oh, I bet that was great. That reminds me. I took my mom to see the movie Wish last night. What do you think of the movie, Mom?
I loved it. It was really cute.
It was
really cute.
Ariana DeBose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she can sing, and I think she acts well in movies.
Yes.
She's a good voice actress.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, because we get to the end of this podcast, I want to know a little bit more about. You graduated college, you studied music, you've been all over the world, apparently. What places have you always wanted to visit?
The only place I would like to go on the bucket list is South America or the Bahamas and that kind of thing. But I am not leaving this country anytime soon. You hear me? I'm not going anywhere. They seem to love to abduct us Americans.
That does seem to keep happening.
Yes.
It's frequent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I listen to a lot of true crime mm-hmm. podcasts, which mm-hmm. of course makes you more paranoid when you listen to things like that on a daily basis. But it's true, and it's like sometimes, like, so when I listen to the stories where they were the survivor, like where they survived,
mm-hmm.
The circumstances were always just so innocent. Like, they were just mm-hmm. innocent. Like, they were like, oh yeah, I went to the bathroom and mm-hmm. then that's what it is. And the thing is, I think I tell this to people all the time, especially when we talk about the cops, that I think it's okay to have a healthy fear
mm-hmm.
of things happening, not to stop you from living life, but to have a healthy fear of certain situations. Like I have a healthy fear of downtown Portland because of, like, the crime, my car getting towed, and
everything. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't stop me from going down there.
Yeah,
right. I have a healthy fear of, like, because I watch Law & Order, mm-hmm. a healthy fear of New York, but it didn't stop me from traversing the whole city.
Yeah.
And staying up till 4 in the morning at a bar, and that was really fun. But I do think, like, when you travel, too, you have to have a healthy fear. I was just listening to reading an article today that was talking about that. You know, just healthy fears of just certain things you should do, like, you know, you should unlock your car, have your keys in your hand, kind of stuff.
And just be aware of your surroundings mm-hmm. constantly.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I pull up to a red light, and when it turns green, I look both ways before I go. I try to let other people go first. But we all do that now. So it's like, okay, somebody's got to go. If you're the first one, somebody's got to go. So, yeah, because, guy on next door said that people treat those red lights like they were just a suggestion. Mm-hmm. They run them all the time here, and that's what's killing a lot of the people.
Yeah. I'm getting really nervous too, because mm-hmm. people have run red lights like crazy these days.
And some people are getting held up at gunpoint in parking lots.
Yeah, like that car when we were driving from the hair store the other day, remember? They were mm-hmm. kind of swerving in a lane, and then they were slowing down a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it made me nervous. So I was like,
me too.
I tell Adam all the time, I was like, because there is, in Portland, I have heard that some gang initiations are just people who are trying to you know, harm others will, like, if you honk at them, they'll intentionally try to get you to honk at them, and then they'll chase you, and, you know, or they'll, road rage is pretty big. People will fire at you at a stoplight, you know, if you've done things. I've heard about those stories when I moved there.
So we have a lot of the smash and, well, not smash and grab, but they're just walking into the store, getting handfuls, and walking out.
Yeah.
Oh, I do have one. A video of one too that happened at the King Soopers we shop at. He's tried to hold up the service desk, you know, right when you walk in, and got into an altercation with the security guard. It's on film.
Okay, so as we kind of round the corner to the end here, I kind of want to know. What advice or what direction did you take in raising children? Because I think you did a pretty great job. But what did you read books or was it all friend advice or other?
I don't know. I just winged it, I guess. I don't know what to tell you. Oh, you know, I think my biggest supporter, though, was Sandra. I would ask her because she had several kids. So I would just... If I ran into a situation and had a question, I'd just ask Sandra.
How'd you meet Sandra? Sandra
was your grandmother's friend. Your grandmother knew her first, but she was also my uncle, your grandmother's brother, his wife's best friend when they were in England. They lived together. And so she was here. Aunt Carol?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
she was here. And Sandra came over. They're both from, you know, from England.
Sandra was my sister's godmother. She had a shop called Liverpool Stitch.
Yeah.
Because she was a seamstress. And the funniest woman ever. And also so jovial. And then also she gambled like a demon.
Yeah.
She'd stay on that machine. And I always remember her saying when we were gambling, and it tickled me. She's like, "You give Jess something." I'm like yelling at these machines in the middle of a casino.
She loved to gamble.
Oh, she loved to gamble. And I remember when she got into her car accident too, and that person backed into her, and she was reciting the story to me, and I was just chuckling. She's like, "He just backed into me." I was like, out of nowhere. Yeah, I miss Sandra. She was a really, really great lady.
Yeah.
And she lived with you for a while.
Yeah, she sure did.
Yeah,
in between housing or whatever.
Yeah, she was a great leader, Lee, indeed. Yeah, I think that you did. I think when people raise children, they take the positives and negatives
from
your parents. I remember I told you this in the car about my friend Kyle, about, you know, his parents in the sense of like being proud of. And the thing is, as much as my dad hasn't been a part of my life, and a part of my life, I remember that phrase of like, "I'm proud of you." And remember Kyle said, "Well, you didn't do anything to be proud of. Like you created me, but all of the choices that I've made, you didn't guide, mentor, or help with." And I kind of agree with that mentality a little bit, because I think if, like, when I have kids someday, that I'd like to follow a lot of the things that you did, and then fall and not do a lot of the things that he did. Because I mean, I know everybody always thinks, "I want to be in my kid's life." Like, you know, everybody when they become parents, they're like, "I want to be in my kid's life. I want to raise them well. I want them to do well." But then life gets in the way, and then people don't operate in that way as they need to, and that's really disappointing and it's sad. But I think that you did a great job with all your foster kids. I think you did a great job with me and my dumb sister.
You just pick up things along the way as you go along and learn things.
Yeah.
And having done the foster care and with all the training that goes along with it, that helps too. But you guys were grown by then pretty much. Well, you know, middle school.
No, but you did send me away when I was a preteen.
Yeah.
Oh, I was a hellion of a child. And I remember, because the reason that I struggled, and it was so type A, it was all writing all over the wall, is that you gave a lot of time and attention to my foster siblings, and I was really resentful of that. because they need time and attention. Like, they were removed from their homes. Of course they need more time. Of course they need more attention. But when you're 12 years old, you don't really, you don't view that. You don't see that. And you can't even understand that. Truly, because one, we were a little bit sheltered in the stuff of like what was happening to these kids from being abused or not abused or neglected and things like that. Because you don't really understand those concepts at the age of 12, but the way that you need to.
I didn't understand some of it either.
And then I remember, because I remember this moment very clearly. I was standing outside on the patio, and I was just being so upset that I felt like it's such a teen thing that nobody understood me. Nobody cared, right? And then I remember you sent me to live with my dad for a summer as a punishment, which I know some people on this podcast, when you think about parenting, they're like, well, that's why you don't like your dad, because you were sent to your dad as a punishment. The thing is, I don't dislike my father. I just don't hold him in high regard. I think that he made a lot of bad choices as a parent that he will actively not admit to in any capacity. And he's a hard man to get along with. The thing is, it was a punishment, not because of him, it was a punishment because I didn't get to do all the things I wanted to do that summer, which was like play my video games. And the funny thing is, I learned a lot that summer about myself because I was just trapped in my head most of the time. That helped me grow up a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking a lot about some of the things that you allowed me to do as a child. Like, I had businesses, like a shovel. And I'd, you know, cut people's grass, and I would do magazine things and sell stuff from magazines to people. Like, I was always doing a little bit of a side hustle as a kid. I don't know what was wrong with me.
Just probably wanted to get out of the house.
I'm part of the generation, listeners, where, yes, I did have video games, but we played in the streets. A lot of my friends were neighborhood kids. We were all around the same age, which mm-hmm. I do realize is a luxury.
Yeah.
Not every time you'll be in a neighborhood with kids around your own age.
Mm-hmm.
Because even as a kid, I didn't know that you didn't grow up in neighborhoods because people don't have kids at the same time. Like, there's kids in my neighborhood, but I'm not a house with kids, right? No. I think you did a good job, Mom. So thank
you.
You're welcome. Thank you. is there any words or advice that you could give to any of the people listening on this podcast? I always tell people the one thing that you always told. You actually have a lot of sayings. But the one thing that always stuck with me are these two phrases. You always said, good things come to those who wait, was the one you always used to say. And then you always used to say, I want my kids to have more or do more than what I did. So do you have any advice for the people?
Not really. You have such a vast, you know, number of people that have all types of, they're all different.
Right.
It's kind of hard to say when I don't really know them.
What would you say to somebody who is trying to figure out who they are?
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't think I would initially say anything. Mm-hmm. I would support what I'm seeing, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, it does. I've seen you when you hang out with like my friend groups, you'll like kind of pay attention and mm-hmm. participate when necessary, because everybody's on a different journey.
Mm-hmm. True.
Because everybody, mm-hmm. especially with all the foster siblings that I've had, everybody is on a very different journey.
Yes.
As much as they are. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's good. That's good advice. I think that's it. Do you have any questions for me, Mom?
No. I've studied you for years.
My mom's one of my biggest supporters in drag. She buys a lot of my clothes that I wear. And she buys my jewelry. And she buys my shoes. A lot of the shoes I'm wearing right now are shoes that she's bought. Things like that. So I really appreciate it, Mom. We're going to do a part two to this when I come back for Christmas.
Oh, that would be a good idea.
That way I can bring my podcasting mics.
Can we do it with Adam?
We can do it with Adam.
Okay, good.
So last thing I'll say, listeners, is I do apologize for the sound quality, because I know it'll be a little rough on this podcast, but I think it was a good experience. I get to know my mom a little bit better. Mom, say bye to the kids.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.